We're on Daf Beis Amud Aleph here in Bab Metzia. We want to fill in a piece that we skipped, and maybe we're more prepared for it now. So if you're looking on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we're going to try to find a Gemara that starts with Omer Rav Papa, and we'll count up from the bottom of the Amud two lines. Omer Rav Papa, Ve'item Rav Shimi Bar Ashi V'Amalei Kedi. And we're talking about the fact that the Mishnah uses a double language and separates it clearly into two bavas. There's Shnai Mos Vitalis Elmer Ma'animit Sasiya Animit Sasiya. And then the Mishnah has another section which is Zeomer Kula Shali, Zeomer Kula Shali. The Gemara made an attempt to integrate the two and say that it's Animit Sasiya Vikula Shali, but the language of the Mishnah doesn't indicate that. And therefore, Rav Papa suggests that the Mishnah is addressing two different scenarios, entirely different cases. One case of Animit Sasiya is a reference to Mitzia. That's called, in the language of Rav Papa, Reisha B'Mitzia. So there are two claimants. Reuven and Shimon are claiming ownership on this talis because each one is claiming he found the talis. Seifa. The Seifa B'Mekach U'Memkav. The Seifa of Kula Shali and Kula Shali is referring to a case of Mekach U'Memkar. Now, what is Mekach U'Memkar? Some sort of a sale. Rashi, in the eight lines before the end of the Amud, he says, Kenisiya Miyad Ploni. Each one is claiming that he purchased the talis from someone else. So you have a single talis, and it was sold. And two people are vying for ownership of the talis, each one claiming that he was the one who purchased the talis. Later on, you'll see that the Gemara clarifies why it is that the mocher himself is unclear about who actually purchased the talis. I mean, he should have some record. And that's going to be the Gemara's question later on. But for now, we're going to assume that in this Dinu Dvarim on Mekach U'Memkar, which the Mishnah says Yachloku B'Shvua, is a case where they both actually bought the talis. Now, what does that mean, they both actually bought the talis? That's a question we'll have to answer as we go along. Our initial answer would be that Ikal and Meimar, says Rashi, four or five lines up before the end, we could possibly suggest that Shneim Kno Uha, that both of them purchased the talis. Ulishneim Nisratzam Mocher, and the Mocher agreed to sell to both of them. Maybe he naively forgot that he had already sold it, and he sold it a second time around. Or maybe in his mind he said, well, they're both willing to pay for it, I'll sell them to both of them. And in such a case, we can apply the principle of Yachloku, and we're going to add a Shvua. So Rashi asks the following question, what about Zeomer Aniyaraktiya V'Zeomer Aniyaraktiya? Why couldn't the Gemara suggest another possible explanation of the Mishnah, and each one is claiming that he created the talis, he wove the talis? And Rashi says here, in this case, it's clear, lo yachloku, there would not be a possibility of yachloku. Devari chad minhai ramihu te munachas ad shiyovo elio. We discussed last week in the Tosfos Divrei Rav Maskil v'yachloku that in the case of Eina Chaluki Yechol Lios Emes, there's no possibility that each one of the claimants would have half. We do not apply the principle of Yachloku, and therefore if the Nifkat is holding on to a Manashlishi, it belongs to either Reuven or Shimon, we don't know to whom, is Ye Munach Ad Shiyovo Elio. We're not going to allow a situation of Yachloku and award a Ramai half the money. And the same thing would apply in Anirak Tia. So whereas in the case of Mechira, it's quite possible that the Mocher actually sold it to both of them, he was Nisratza to both of them. And in such a case, we would say, like the Gemara says about Basra, Shnei Shtaris Yotzim B'Yachad Echad, if there are two Shtaris of Mechira on the same piece of property, then we'll apply Yachloku. The Gemara actually, there's another possible application of Shuda D'Daini. Okay, we're not talking about that now. But there is a possibility that he sold it to both of them. The Yachloku, therefore, could be a true reflection of the law. But in Anir Aktiyah, there's no way, no how, that you could say that the sweater that was woven belongs to both of them. Either Reuven wove it or Shimon wove it. In any case, Rav Papa now addresses a different question. Why did the Mishnah need to apply Yachloku? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah applying Yachloku twice? Once to the case of Metziah, and another time to the case of Mekach u'Memka. Utsricha. We need both. And here we're going to turn to Beis Amid Beis. Itana, Ditana, Metziah. If he only told us the Shnayim Oksim Metalis in a Metziah case, Habamina, B'Metziah hu derami Rabbanan Shvualei. Only in the case of a Metziah did the Rabbanan impose the Shvuah. Now, by way of introduction, every Shvuah requires, as a precondition, what's called Horas Heter. Horas Heter means that the one who's guilty here, the one who should really be losing the case, he put forth his claim because he thought it's not first class gzela. It's, even though he's not the right guy here, he doesn't deserve the moment. But his claim was put forward because in his mind he made all sorts of excuses and justifications for what he's doing, as if to say it's not so terrible. That's called a roset. Again, if he's an outright gazlan, there's no point to a shvuah, because the shvuah is not going to be a harta'ah. It's not going to force him to admit and confess that he really is the losing claimant. But if he's in this middle state of Horas Heter, and he's not a Goslin Gomor, you know, in the sense that he stuck his hand into someone else's pocket to steal his money, he has some sort of a justification in his mind that what he did is not so terrible, then that's where we need a Shvuah. And here's where we would distinguish between Metziah and Mekach u'Memkar. Hava mina b'Metziah hu derami Rabbanan Shvualei. Mishum de Mori. Mori means a Mora Ra. He's going to tell himself that it's Mutter. Biomar Chavroi Lav Midi Chaser Laba. I'm not stealing anything because it's a Metziah. It's something found. It's Gefunden a Geld, as we say in Yiddish. In other words, he's not losing anything out of pocket. His bank account does not have a minus in it as a result of my grabbing the talis. So that he justifies grabbing the talis, and he figures he'll get away with it. Ezel, he says, I will go v'akfis, and I'll grab onto this talis v'espalig behadeh, and I'll get half of it. So again, this is not a Jew who's a first-class gazlan who would come over and grab your talis and steal it. He grabs onto a lost object, and he says, I found it, in order to split the talis with him. And the hope of the Shvuah, the mechanism of the Shvuah, is that he would rather not take the Shvuah, but rather admit the truth. He doesn't want to be guilty of a Shvuah Sheker. Avol b'mekach u'memkar, here's where the Havamina is, that there's no room for a Shvuah, d'leka l'meimar hachi, because if Reuven is claiming that he bought the talis, well, Shimon paid for the talis. And now Reuven is causing Shimon the loss of the funds, the money that he paid for the talis. Emolo, we should really think in our minds that there's no room for a shvuah here, because we're talking here about a gazlan gomor. We're no longer talking about haros heter. When a person is in that, shall we call it a gray area, where he allowed himself because he thought he could stretch the law, that's where a shvuah could come in very handy. And it would be very meaningful, but not for a gazlan gomor. And in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, it's as if he put his hand into his friend's pocket and took out his money, because by taking away his possessions, which the guy paid for, you're in effect a gazlan. If so, there's no room for Ras Hetan. If there's no room for justifying it in your mind, then he's Choshed al Gezel, and Choshed al Gezel is Choshed al Shvuah Sheker. I mean, to the same extent that he steals something, and he's willing to do that deliberately, he's willing to take a false oath. And therefore, I would have thought that in Mekach u'Memkar, on a case of a talis, we should, instead of paskening Yachloku, we should say a munach hachiyov elyo. we cannot impose a shvua when we know there's a vadai gazlin gomur. We need that element of horas heter, and this is not a gray area, this is a black and white area, this is outright gezel, because his friend paid for the object and now he's taking it away from him. So we need the chiddush of our Mishnah that even in the case of mekach u'memkar, there's some sort of horas heter. And what is that? Well, he paid for it, but I also paid for it. Let him get his money back from the seller, so that even though the person realizes full well that he had no right to do what he did, and he grabs onto the talis saying that he bought it when he knows full well that somebody else had bought it, but he's not so careful about that because he's also spending the exact same amount of money, he's paying for it. And let Yenom get his money back from the buyer. If the halacha is going to rule in my favor, then clearly the mocher will have to reimburse the other baldin, the other lokeach who paid a full price for the object. And now we want to reverse it. In every case of a tzrichusa, we need to justify in both directions. So the Gemara says the following, the itana mekach u'memkar, and you might say, well, if in mekach u'memkar, where there's no aras heter, we still impose the shvua. Or you might have thought that there's no aras heter, but there is aras heter, because he paid the money. Then, why would I need the Mishnah to tell me in Itziah? And in Mitzia, at least there's a Ros Heter. So if you chayv a shvu in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, where the whole entity, this condition of Ros Heter is very questionable, how much more so in the case of Mitzia are we going to require a shvu? Because in Mitzia there's a very strong Ros Heter because nobody paid for it. So the Gemara says, Itana Mekach u'Memkar, Hu d'rami rabbanan shvu'alei. Here's the case where we're going to apply the principle of Shnayim Oks and Betalis, and each one is going to take a Shvua Yishum Demori V'Yomar. And what's the Horas Heter in the case of Mekach u'Memkar? Chevrai Yohiv, which means my friend a Dami Koyov, he paid money. Vanod Zmei or Dami Vivna, I'm willing to pay for this talis, is therefore, since I'm not going to take this talis without paying for it, it makes sense that we can apply the principle of Yachloku, and perhaps if we impose the Shvua, he'll back off and he will defer. He doesn't want to take the shvua, and instead he will pay. So what we're saying here is that there's a big chiddush in the case of Shnayim Oks and Betalis. Why? Because in Mekach u'Memkar, where the person is who's lying here, I mean, he doesn't really have rights to the talis, it was already sold, but he's paying money for the talis. He has a Ras Heter, and the Shvua hopefully will jolt him, and he'll be afraid to take a Shvua Shav, and he'll confess the truth. But Hashta Tzrichel Didei Eshkalei Anah. Now, why? How does he justify the fact that he's paying for an object that was already sold? And he starts calculating, I need this object very badly, so why don't I just grab onto it? I'm going to pay for it. And let the mocher reimburse the other guy for whatever monies he spent and forked over in order to buy this object. So that's called the Lashon Hashas V'Hashta the Tzrichel Didei Eshkalei Anah V'Chaverai Leizel Litrach Lizban, and my friend will find another talis to buy somewhere else. And I'm not stealing anything because he'll get reimbursed. I'm going to pay the full price for this talis. I realize that this talis is somewhat special. And if I can't buy this one, I'll have to buy another one, but it won't be the same. It won't be on the same level. And therefore, I'm willing to shell out a lot of money for this. And my friend, he doesn't need the talus so badly. Let him go down the street and buy a talus from another talus seller. And that's this entire, you know, Horas head to this. He's like all of a sudden, yeah, he became a big London. So he's saying, well, you know, I need the object, and I'm paying for it, and he doesn't need the object. Let him get it elsewhere, and he's going to get his money back. So I'm grabbing onto the talus that I can justify. So we understand that the Shvuah has a major role to play, and it's going to scare him because he won't be able to take an oath to the effect that he was the first one to buy it when he knows that's a fabrication. But you know, this mitzia cannot be replaced, meaning if you don't take this mitzia, this talus, you're not going to go up the block and find another talus. You may go into a talus seller and pay an exorbitant amount of money. Is aim low? I would say that we're not going to be able to be mashbia him a shvua, because the person who grabs the talus is shalokidin. He didn't have any rights. Nobody sold him the talus. For gazlan gomer. So we need a big chiddush here in our Mishnah, because what kind of a ras heta can you have on a mitzia? It must be that he's a thief. We don't know which one is a thief. But the thief himself is choshen al gzeilus mamon, he's also choshen al shvuah sheker. He'll easily and comfortably take a false oath. And therefore mitzia, a found talis, we should apply a different principle, namely a munach at shiyov al yov. Tzricha. So we need the Tana of Mishnah to tell us that even in the case of Mitzia, which again, you know, you can't ask him to replace it, he needs a Shvur. Even in Mitzia, there is some sort of element of Haras Heter. And as we said earlier, the Haras Heter is, this guy's not taking any loss if I grab the talus. It's a Mitzia. You know, it's extra money in the bank account, but I'm not causing him any loss of money that he already owns. Now the Gemara goes back to this concept of Yachloku and Mekach u'Memkar. Well, why is it impossible to clarify which one of these two claimants or which one of these two Ochas and Vitalis is the one that bought the Talis? And the Gemara asks, Mekach u'Memkar lech zeh zuzim iman nokat. There's a very easy way of determining to whom was this Talis sold. And the answer is, the seller has money, and he should know. We'll see in a minute that he doesn't know, but he should know who gave him the money. You know, somebody gives you money and buys something, you make a note of it, you have a ledger. So if that be the case, why is this yachloku? We just have to ask the mocher, to whom did you sell the talus? Now the assumption here is that if you can clarify the suffix, then the mocher is believed, and he will clarify the suffix for you. He'll be the one to tell you who actually bought the object. Now, Rashi raises a problem from a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, where two people deposited money in the hands of a person, and this person is the mocher, none other than the mocher himself. And what happens now? Again, two individuals deposited money in the hands of a mocher, and they want to use that as payment. Hachefetz kvar lo biyado. The mocher has already given over the object to one of these two bali did. Ushnaim Oksimbo. Now we have the two buyers that are holding on to this object. And now we have a vikuach. Who bought the object? So the Gemara establishes that we can't ask the Mocher. We can only ask the Mocher in a case where he's holding on to the object that he sold. In other words, as long as the Mocher is holding on to the object, he has to keep a calculation of who gave him the money, because he has to deliver the goods. So who's going to deliver the goods to? What, he's going to put it out in Hefker? He's going to deliver it to the one who bought it. And he knows who bought it. So the bottom principle in Kiddushin Ayin Gimel is that the Mocher will be believed to identify the Lokeach only if he's still holding on to the goods. Our case is where he's not holding on to the talis, Haraya the Shnai Mochsev talis. So in that case, he would not be believed. He's no longer muchzak on the object that he sold. It's already out of his rishus. He can't say anything. So if that be the case, what does Gemara mean when it asks v'lechzei zuzei miman nokat, as if to say that the mocher himself would be believed? He's going to tell us who he sold it to. Well, that's not really true, because he's no longer holding on to the talis. Ech shola gemara sham mocher yoid mimi hu kibel ma'os. Don't ask me the following question. How could the Gemara say let the mocher determine who actually purchased it, because he accepted ma'os from one of them? Halo achefetz kvar inenu biyodo v'yenu neman. Right? In this case, he's already delivered the object to one of these two Bali Dinim, and now they're fighting over it. When we call it Mevur Bigmarasham, Sherak im Shneem Nosnu Mos, Ferak Echo Nosen Lomos Mirtsono, Vasheni Balkorcho, is Beofen Ze im Achefetz Eno Biyodo, Eno Nemo. אבל כשרק אחד נוסן עמוס, גם כשהחיפץ איננו ביודו הוא נמון. So it means the following, that if one person gave him Mos, then he's believed. He can identify the Lokeach to the exclusion of everyone else. And that's true. That's true, he can identify. Even in a case when he's not holding on to the object. So the Gemara now at this point holds that only one of them gave the momos. As we said earlier, it says, V'anod me domi koyahivna, meaning in the future tense. In such a case, if one person gave him the mos, then the mocher is believed even if he's already delivered the object. The Gemara now is of the opinion that only one of them gave the mos. Okay. Now, in Mekach u'Memkar, the Gemara says, Lechzi zuzi miman nokat, who actually delivered the funds to purchase this talis? Lo tzricha de nokat Mitravayu. That's not bad. Sold the same object twice to two different people. Is Michad Midaite, but he's a real tzaddik, the mocher, because one of them he agreed to sell it to. Vichad, what about the other one? Balkorche. So that Shimon was really desperate to get a hold of this talis, and he actually forced the mocher to accept the money, the payment, against his will, for this talis. V'lo yadana, and we don't know, mihu midaite, umihu balkarche. In other words, who was the one that the mocher was misratza to? He really wanted to sell to him, and he received money from him. Now, what does midate mean? That's usually translated as mirtsono. So that, I think, will become clearer when we see the next next few lines of the Gemara. Gemara says, "Umihu ze bal karcha." Right, "Mihu ze midaite." "Umihu ze bal karcha." So we should ask the mocher who entered into a fair neighborly agreement. He paid the money, and you gave him the object, which you're willing, more than willing, to sell. Shimon grabs onto this talis, and he's going to throw money into the hands of the mocher against his will. He's so desperate to get this talis, which he thinks he can't buy anywhere else, that he's going to shell out the money for the talis and grab onto the talis and claim that he bought it. And in this case, the mocher doesn't know which of these two bali davar was the midaite bal davar. You know, in a pleasant agreement, there was an agreement on both parts that to sell them the talis. Umiyu bal karchi, which was the one who forced him to take the monies. He was so desperate to get the talis. Therefore, each one of them has to take a shrua. She'ein lo pa pachos michetzia. And the person to whom the mocher was not misratze, harei ein lo ba klu. So that we're really putting all our hope out that if you impose a shrua on him, he's going to back off. He's afraid of taking a shrua sheker. And zesha mocher lomas lomis isratzalo. What does it mean? Zesha mochelo sratzva ein lo baklum. It means that you can't force the mocher to sell something when he already sold it. And even if he hadn't sold it, it could be the sale would not be valid. I mean, that's a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin. So again, this person who's desperate to get the talis, and he throws money into the hands of the mocher. I mean, he's basically kind of an honest guy. Again, he's fabricating the truth when he says the talis is his. But he certainly went through all the motions that are necessary to buy this talis. In such a case, since he's not a real ganav, we believe that he will not take a shvur sheker. He will not purge himself by taking a shvur sheker. The shvua will cause him to back off and confess that he doesn't own this money. In our case, the talis. Now, the sugya that I mentioned before about Toluv Zovin, where they force someone to sell something, is also in Masechta Bava Basra, Perecheskes Abatim. Toluv is zovin zvine zvine. So if they force them to sell something, then the sale is valid. And nevertheless, the Gemara says that the case of toluv is zovin zvine zvine, where we recognize the sale, even though it was done under duress, that sugya is clarified by a Gemara Bava Kama Samach Beis. There we're talking about a case of a kone, a buyer, who forced the mocher to say rotzani, to actually make the declaration in front of two eidim that he's willing and he gives his approval to sell the object. Here, he forces someone, the mocher, to accept his money, but the mocher never agreed to sell the object in. Or shall we say, he didn't agree to sell to both of them, knowing full well that one of them is a gazlan. So the Gemara says that we certainly understand why the mocher is not able to clarify this stuff. He can tell us exactly who he sold the talis to. And if the mocher can't is not in a position to clarify the suffix. So then what happens? We're going to say yachloku. Because let's say mizuzi v'anokin is not going to help us. Just to summarize the bottom line, two lines in this Gemara, I mean 2 points in the Gemara, is that both in the cases of Mekach u'Menkach Metzia, it's meaningful to ask for a shvuah, to impose a shvuah on both of them, because even the one who's lying is he's not an outright liar, he's not a thief, he's not a gazlan, he's got a horos heter. And the second point that we want to make is in the case of Mekach u'Menkach, the mocher is not able to clarify this suffix and tell us exactly from whom he took the money and who is the rightful owner and the rightful buyer of the money. Now let's take a look at Tosfos. Dibro Maschil e Tana Metzia. Again, the Gemara Lamaskana says that when the language of the Mishnah uses the language Zelmer Kulishali, we're talking about Mekach u'Menkach, and the Mocher took money from both of them, but he was only Misratza to one of them. And that's going to be the case of Zelmer, Kula, Shali, etc. Now, if you ask me, why do we need Metzia as well? So the Gemara answers that E Tana Metzia. Oh, now the Gemara is asking, why do I need Mekach u'Menkach, E Tana Metzia? And the Gemara says, Mishum Demore, meaning Mora Heter, even though he knows that he didn't pick up the talis. Again, this is in the case of Metzia, what would be the Havamina as far as Mekach u'Menkach? And in Metzia there's a clear cut Torah Heter, because Lav Midi Chaser. What does Lav Midi Chaser mean? He's not going to lose anything if he tines animit sasiyah. He'll at least get half of it. That's a pretty good profit margin. And I'm going to be moro heter because he didn't do any work in order to retrieve this lost object. Therefore, lekach tofes, he's willing to go ahead and grab onto the talis, afagav shiyodeh shechaver mitzah, even though he knows full well that his friend lifted it up first and owns it. And that's, what does it mean here? Ramu rabbanan shvualei kidei shiyifosh. Ah, since he knows that his friend didn't work and didn't invest in order to claim this mitzvah and make a kinyan or a hagbar in the mitzvah, so therefore he feels justified and he's going to grab on to the mitzvah. So the Rabbanan now are going to impose a shvua, because they're hoping that because shvua is chamura, it's a very severe violation if it's a shvua sheker. He says to himself, Mali Litzarzu. So as a result of the Shvuah, he's inhibited to keep pushing forward with his lie and even taking an oath. He's not going to take a false oath. He was just a person who's a low-grade kind of thief, meaning he's not a real thief. He justifies what he did. He grabbed onto it. He knows that his friend found it, but he realizes that his friend is taking zero loss by giving up the talis. So the Rabbanan going to impose a shvuah, and hopefully he's going to come forward and he will admit that he didn't pick up the talis first. Avol Mekach u'Menkach. There's no horas heter because yodea shechaveru knaa. He knows that his friend bought it. The mocher was misratza to sell it to him, and he paid money for it. Certainly, in this case, lo avi tofes ba. Shari chaveru nosan mos bi ada. how can he grab onto the talis with any sort of justification when he knows full well that his friend bought the talis? And the answer is, we can justify the logic of the Chachomim in the case of Mitziv of imposing a Shuah. There's no Aras Heter. He can't grab onto this talus Shalom Kiddin. Yodea, he knows very well, Shechaver Kna'a, his friend bought it, and the Mocher was Misratza for that Mecher to his friend. Vare lo havi tofis, he would not grab it. Because if his friend paid for it, the done is signed, it's a done deal. And even if it means that the mocher will return half the mos to make sure that each one gets half his mos back when they split the talis, because he did receive the mos twice, is nevertheless, it was the other guy who did all the work, and he was matriach himself, he bought the talis, he wants the talis. Now in the toughest way, he goes ahead and grabs it, then what's he going to be more ahead over here? Satosa says, and this is a new element that we haven't seen yet, the Matvis Bey, the toughest Bey, why did he grab onto it? Savur Shalohu. Why? He must have come to the conclusion that the Mocher never really had a full Ritzah, full Das to sell the object to Ploni, to the other, to Ruvei. Kedemasik Lekamon, the Nokat Zuzi Mitravaya. For example, he took money from both of them. And everyone really convinces himself respect that he to him there was a ritzui, emolo ishava. And the Gemara thinks that there would be no point to the shvua. Why? Because the point of the shvua is that he should be poreish and admit his guilt. But arehu sover lo ma'emes. This is exact opposite of what we're discussing until now. That there's no point to the shvua because he's a gazel and gomor. And he's not afraid of taking a false oath. Now we're saying the opposite. That the reason why there's no point to the Shavua is because he's going to take the Shavua under the understanding that he owns half the talis, and he thinks he's telling the emes. So what did he gain by the Shavua? So kevad the yeshlochus zeshe ena tal shalom mora hetel liatzu viomer arei chaveri eno mafsid imechlok imo. So this is the kamashmal on here. The maskana is that he should take a shvua because he does have an element of haras heter insofar as the fact that the mocha will return half of the most to each of them. So he grabs onto the talis, knowing full well it's not his. And for that scenario, for that possibility, the Rabbanim were willing to impose a shvua on him, so he'd be porish. So again, in the Havamina, what we're saying is the shvua would be meaningless because he knows full well, he believes full well that he is a rightful owner. But in the Maskara, we have to worry about another scenario. In this basic case, maybe he thinks that since the Mocher will reimburse the other lokeach, therefore he's going to go ahead and grab the talis, knowing full well it doesn't belong to him, and therefore the shvua would bring him to a state of being poreish. Tosas says, "Veheicha shevadai," in a situation where for sure the talis is not his, eino sover lomer emes, he doesn't convince himself that he's putting forth a true taina. For example, kigon de katoin kol echad ani araktia, which is Rashi's case that each one says, I wove the garment. She echad mehem toin sheker b'mezid, one for sure is lying. In this case, we'll have to say achloku b'shvua. O kigon shnaim adukim b'shtar dila kamon. The malv and the lov both holding on to the shtar. The malv is claiming that the shtar fell from his hand and nothing was paid up. The lov says it fell from his hand because he already paid it up. So one is certainly lying. In those cases, shpasam pshita the achloku b'shvua. We're going to certainly require shvua the al yedei shvua vada yifrosh. Shrei chashavor lo chashar ashvuasa. So our interpretation of the Gemara was predicated totally on the principle of Choshed Amonu, lo Choshed Ashvuasa, and therefore the Shvua is going to is going to inhibit him in a little bit, that he falsified his claim rather than take a shvua sheker. But Tosis is operating with the assumption that chashe amona lo chashe ashvuasa. So if a person is really chashe to take something that's not his, he's not going to go as far as to perjure himself in a shvua sheker. This is going to be the Gemara later on in Daf Hei Amid Beis. So in our case, even though Shem Mamon Eino Poresh, that he's not afraid of stealing someone's Mamon, but Mikoma Kom Notel Olav Nami Lishava, but if he has to take upon himself not only to steal money, but also take a false oath to defend his position, Vadai for sure, Yifrosh Me'am Mamon Machmas Chomra Shvua. He'll be willing to give up his claim and admit he's not going to get the money because he doesn't want to take a shvua sheker. Now let's go on to the Tosfos v'lichsi zuze miman nokat. The Gemara asks the following question: in mekachu memkar, and we don't know who to whom the object was sold. Why should you say yachloku? Why don't you just check out whose money was received? So Rashi says, Nish'ala mocher, we're going to ask him from whom did he receive money. Is the mocher believed? V'yafagav di'ena mocher neman, k'shein mekcho biyodo. You'll ask the question as Rashi does, we don't believe the mocher if he's no longer holding on to the object. He doesn't pay any attention to remember, he doesn't have any ledgers or reminders to remember who actually bought the object. Once he gives up the object, he gave it to the one who paid him, and that's it. He doesn't remember who he was. And we don't trust him. Ukide Isa v'yasar yuchsin, Tosa sends us to a Gemara Kiddushin. But in this case, he would be believed. Why? Hani Milu, when isn't he not believed? Afkav de Nokat, Mitravayu, when he took money from two people, one Midaito and one Bal Karcho. In such a case, even if he gave over the Mekach, he's going to remember which one is the rightful owner. He realizes that he's going to have to make that call. They're going to turn to him, and he's Midait, therefore, to remember which one of these two were he was Nisrat, and which one was Bal Karcho. If only one person paid him for the object, is neman afilu kishein mekho biyodo. The person is not going to make a mistake in a case where he received the money from one person. Remember who paid him the money. And this is the interpretation of the Gemara according to Rashi, which means that the Gemara now is of the opinion that he received money from one of them, and he's believed to identify that person who paid him the money, even if he's not holding on to the Mecca. So when the Gemara says in Kiddushin that we, on Mafkir, we remove the Nemanis to the Mocher, where because he doesn't have the Mecca, that's going to be a case where he got money from two people. He's not going to be careful to remember which of the two, but he's only got money from one person. He's certainly believed to say, I know full well who paid me the money. And even if it's not Mekho Biyodo, he's believed to identify the buyer. And now, Garsinon, Basar Hachi, when the Gemara says later on, Lo Tzricha Dunokat Zuzi Mitravayu Michad Midaite, Umichad bal karche, veloya deinon. And again, this new gears is loya deinon. We don't know which of the two gave him the money, and he was misratza midaito, and we was the one who forced him. And the gears is loya deinon. Now, this Bezdin doesn't know who received the, from whom he received the most midaito, and whom bal karcho. The afal pisha mocher. So in this case where the mocher, you know, he sold it twice and he received money for both, he's not going to be believed to tell us which of these bali didim was the one that he was misratza for. A guy who takes money from two sides, forget it. And that's called v'lo yad'inan. In other words, the mocher himself claims, yes, I know, but we don't know, because we're not going to trust you. That's Rashi. U'bechinam dokach lefarshi. Tosus says that Rashi didn't have to go into such a dokach that the mocher only received money from one of them, and that he is believed. And here he says, de hare af im lo nemon kach, even if it's clear, and the Gemara knew very well that the mocher sold it to one of them, he gave it up, he coughed up the object, he's no longer in possession of the object, and therefore he's not believed. Nevertheless, the Gemara thinks, hachaparach shapir, the afagav de'ein mekho biyado neman hu kied echot. So the Gemara says, lechsei zuzi, means we're going to ask the mocher to whom he sold the object, and even though it's a mekho biyado, he's believed because of the principle called eid echad hamisayeli echad mehem. It means that he has one witness, and if he has one witness to support his claim as to who actually bought this object kedasu kedin, he's believed, even though it's not mekho biyod. Is hachi parach shapi? The Gemara says that neman hu keid echad, he has the status of an aid. In other words, we don't have the absolute reliability and credibility of a mocher, because it's a mekho biyado, but he's no worse than one aid. And if you have two claimants on the same money, and one of them is able to adduce the evidence of the support from one aid, then he's going to win the case. So the Gemara is not asking a kash on the din of Yachloku, because there's no question about it that the mocher is not believed to say who should get this chefetz. But rather, the question of the Gemara was, Amai Shneim Nishboim, why should they both take a shvua? Oso Shamocher Messiah, Tzarkli Potabi Shvua. Even though we don't believe the mocher, but he's no worse than one aid, and he is supporting one of the two claimants. And that support should be enough to patter him up from a shvua. V'idach yishav a shvua do raisa. Shvua against the Eirechot, V'machish Eirechot, is a shvua do raisa. V'hashta, now we can justify the gear, says, we have a garcina and shapir v'lo yada, meaning the mocher doesn't know who paid him willingly and from whom he accepted only by Karchadav. The Iyada, had he known, Havi Neman Kedechad, we would at least grant him the credibility, the weight of evidence as one aid, which would force the other Baldin to take a Shvur Doraisa, to be Machish the aid. Umiu, Tosa says, Hey Mem, Havi Motzi, by Gemara, Lishnui, the Gemara could have given the following answer, the Lese, the mocher is not around, Kamon, did a shaylah, like the Gemara says in Psachim, you know, somebody on Leil Yudalid, you know, rented out a house to you, just ask him if he did the bedikah or not. But he's not around, so you can't ask him. So the Gemara theoretically could have given the answer that the mocher is not around, and therefore we cannot ask him. The Rima Farish, the Rima has a different take on the Gemara's Kasha of Lechse, etc. We're not going to ask the Mocher, as Rashi and Tosus until this point understood it, but rather Nishalohem will ask the Balidinim themselves, Mimi Kibal Mocher Amos. From which one of them did the Mocher receive the most? She'ein Anu Choshtin Oso L'Shaker Bazeh. If he didn't pay the money, he's not going to claim he paid the money. That lie, we're not afraid, we're not suspicious of such an outright lie. Lo anasati v'lo nasan, as if to say, he's lying by saying that he gave the money, and in truth he did not. The Gamheim, the Bali Dinim themselves, Enam Chalukim, they're not arguing about who gave the most. Ella, what are they Chalukim about? What are they debating? Leminis Rata Mocher Bamekach. So the assumption here of the Ri is that the Mocher received most from only one of them, and there's no debate between the two Bali Dinim as to which one of them gave the most and the most were received by the Mocher. But the question is Nisratza. To whom was the Mocher Nisratza? To whom did he want to sell? They're not arguing, these two Bali Dinim, Reuven and Shimon, about who gave the most. So therefore we can ask them who gave the most, and they're both modim. Everyone agrees Shemi Echabem Kibel that he got the most from one of the two. Veneda Mikach Shemistomoli Oso Shinosan Amoso Nisratze Hamocher. We can assume that if two people wanted they're vying to buy this object, if you receive the money from both of them, you're going to be Nisratze to him. You accepted the most from him. And therefore, Memele Yikabel, who is called Talis, he should receive the entire Talis. And that was Gemara's Kasha. Why do we impose Yachloku? Umeshani, the Gemara answers, Ochmai Skinon, did Nokat HaMocher Zuzi Mitravayim. He received money payment from both of them, from one Midas, from the other Bal Karcho. So we don't know to whom he was Nisratze, and who was foistering the money on in Bal Karcho. Shari Bazeh Gufehem Chalukim Mimi Kibel HaMocher Midaito Mimi Bal Karcho. So what they're arguing about, these two Bali Dinim, is who had the real Ratzon. To whom did the Mocher Misrat? Okay, then we'll stop here.